The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. Today we are celebrating one of the greatest and most complex mysteries of our faith, the Most Holy Trinity, the one true God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together make up one God in an undivided unity. This is what makes the mystery of the Trinity complex. There is an old story about St. Augustine, who was trying to understand this mystery in hope of writing about it with more clarity. It is said that he was walking along the seashore and saw a little youngster who had dug three holes in the sand. The youngster had a shell and would go to the ocean, fill the shell, come back and pour the water into the holes. He went back and forth repeatedly, doing the same. Then St. Augustine asked, "What are you trying to do?" The child replied, "I'm trying to put the whole ocean into these holes in the sand." St. Augustine said, "That is foolish. It is impossible." Then the child said, "No more foolish and no more impossible than you are trying to understand the Trinity." It is said that it was an angel of God sent to tell St. Augustine that the mystery of the Trinity is so complex, so huge for human mind. It is impossible for human mind to accommodate this mystery. It is too big for our mind, for our understanding. Nevertheless, it is the reality which we believe and have to believe. The three biblical passages we read today aid our reflection on the nature of the Trinity. The first reading speaks of God the Father, the Creator, who created man upon the earth, who spoke with Moses and liberated the Israelites from Egypt with testings, signs, wonders, wars, great terrors, and with a strong hand. The second reading tells us about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who gives us life and makes us children of God and joint heirs with Christ. In the Gospel, Jesus commissions his disciples to go all over the world and baptize people using the Trinitarian formula: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Scripture gives a gradual but systematic revelation of the three persons of the Trinity. However, Scripture does not clarify this mystery. The mystery remains complex, and yet we are required to believe it. Why do we believe this reality? We believe it because it was revealed to us by Jesus, who is God, the second person of the Trinity. And God, according to the teachings of the Church, can neither deceive nor be deceived, as we read from De Filius, chapter 3, paragraph 3008. Our Lord Jesus revealed to us this mystery in his own words, as quoted by St. John. "I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. And so I'll ask the Father, and will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He'll guide you into all the truth." So he's revealing to us the three persons, himself, meaning Jesus, God the Father, and the Spirit. In the Trinity, no person is superior to the other. They are all equal in dignity and rank. And Jesus confirms this when he says, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." We read this from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12. Also, when Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and you shall be satisfied," Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" So, my dear friends, Jesus is the perfect manifestation of the equality of the Trinitarian persons. They are all equal. It suffices to see Jesus alone and get to know the other two persons. What is more fascinating in the mystery of the Trinity is their undivided unity and mutual cooperation in the work of creation and salvation. God the Father is the Creator. God the Son is the Savior. And God the Holy Spirit is the vivifier and sanctifier. Vivifier means life giver, the one who gives life, from the Latin verb vivere, to live. The three persons are united in an inseparable unity, which is reinforced by love. We strongly believe in this mystery, and we are baptized in this mystery, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We begin and conclude each and every prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we renew this belief every time you recite the Creed, as you shall do during this Mass. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son," and so on. So what can we learn from this mystery? There are so many things we can learn, but one is the undivided unity of these three persons, which is sustained by love. Today we live in large societies that are heterogeneous and plural in their composition. The lines of plurality may be drawn along one or several factors, such as race, religion, class, language, nationality, name it. No matter the plurality, we need to look at each other as brothers and sisters, because we share the same Father who is in heaven. And one day we shall all be united around him in the eternal bliss. St. John in his Revelation saw this enormous crowd united in heaven around the most holy Trinity, and he wrote, "After this I looked, and there was an enormous crowd. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood in front of the throne of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palm branches in their hands." End of quote. So, my dear friends, in order that we may finally join this enormous crowd in heaven, it is important that we start to live in unity with our brothers and sisters in this life, here and now, the unity which is reinforced by the cords of love. This unity, which is firmly grounded in love, should stem right from our families and advance to the society and finally to the national and international levels. There shouldn't be anyone who feels inferior to others. Likewise, there shouldn't be anyone who feels superior to others. In connection with this, David, in Psalm 133, exclaimed, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." The term brother here, in a metaphorical sense, means solidarity or affection, and this is what is required of us all. And to dwell together denotes proximity or association. How I wish that all of us here would cherish this type of unity. Lord Jesus, before concluding your earthly ministry, you petitioned for unity among your followers, saying that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. May this prayer continue to resound so that the entire world may be a place of love and unity where neither hatred nor war has room. Amen.